Good morning.
All right, 602. It's time to save money on Shell gasoline. Text the word Dave to 83835 now. Save 25 cents off your second fill up. Stack those rewards. Save even more. You know, I got to fill up once.
Stacks like on stacks.
21 gallons with my Shell gas car. Seriously, it was like $8.
Oh,
yeah. How about
that's
that?
Lovely.
It's nice.
Neat watching the thing like roll, really, roll.
You get dumped already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay Moore tickets today. We got a couple of pair.
I'm sorry. It kills you, doesn't it?
We got a couple of pair for you. Katie's back in studio, and I love Katie. You know, somebody texted me yesterday or tweeted me. Said, you know, you and Katie, you play it off like you're friends. But honestly,
I know the truth.
But, like, you guys, I feel like you guys really don't like each other. And so I said, I said, why do you?
That's a new one. We haven't heard that
at all. Really? Yeah, usually it's, you know, is she?
Yeah,
never mind.
Yeah, usually it's the opposite. It's, yeah. Like, how dare you? You're a married man. Thing,
that type of thing.
Right?
But this was a lady listener, and so obviously more emotional than normal.
Oh.
And she's like, no. And she was really nice about it, so I engaged her because she wasn't being disrespectful or anything like that. Like 90% of everybody is. And she said, no, it's not. You guys are always fighting and angry. And
are we?
And I don't know. Probably. I mean, probably. And then she, I don't know. Her whole point was, she's like, is it a radio thing that you guys are friends, but really off the air, you're not? I was like, no.
Should have just gone with it.
Probably,
like, yeah,
right.
I hate that bee.
I actually felt bad. It was like the lady who called me for the survey the other day.
Yeah,
like,
you want to know why? Because you treat me really poorly. And people don't understand. It's true. Hey, listen
please.
Up, Peanut Gallery.
Oprah says you teach people how to treat you.
So what happened right there is I was reading my Jay
this
Moore.
This is a very good point.
My Jay Moore thing, because we have two pair of tickets to give away to him tomorrow at Calusa Casino. And I just grabbed, I have this stand in front of me that has, you know, today's show rundown and
all the
Jay
goodies.
Moore,
all the
stuff that we've got to get to, right? So I pull it out, you know, and and then as I'm I start reading it, Katie reaches over from her side of the desk and stacks up my stack. Because it has to be that way. And the
I have OCD.
Fix it.
I'm sorry.
The problem with anal people like Katie, I don't choose to use the term OCD. I use anal because that's how it is, and it's more fun to say.
Is that your preference?
Well, I'm married, so no.
Graduate of Anal Roberts University.
Right, <yeah. laughs> So,
maybe not your preference, but you'll take what you can get. Is that what you're saying?
You're damn right. By the way, because I always love it when Nate. Okay, when I was asking you to rate my wife's rear end yesterday, and it's one of my favorite things to do. You weren't here because Nate just gets ridiculously uncomfortable. And then
I just want to clarify, because with your lisp,
what I said, what did it sound like? I said
it sounded like you were saying a P instead of a T.
Oh, rate. And Nate gets super uncomfortable. Then I just want to let it like, and that kind of ties in.
Let it stew.
Just cause. That kind of ties in with your OCD. Like, I'll go around her house when we're there, when I'm over there, and I know how she is. So, like, I'll help her make a cheese tray or something, right, when she's having friends over. And I'll oftentimes help her. I'll get in the kitchen with her.
But not you, because we're not really friends. It's a radio bed.
That's exactly right. So I'll get over there, and then, like, I'll leave, like, a piece of cheese and the dirty knife on the counter.
Just a little askew.
Just to do it. And then I sit there and kind of mentally count how long it will take for her to notice, grab it, go right to the sink, wash the knife, and then grab her like Formula 409 and wipe off the counter. And it's only funny because it's true.
Formula 409 since like 1995.
409's underrated for washing your hands.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
What do you get your hands into, Nate?
Well, you know, like if you're working in a shop like a man.
Like a man?
No, I use that. I'll tell you what works. I have a bottle of that CLR stuff.
Is it CLR or CRX?
CLR.
CLR.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a Honda.
Calcium, lime, and rust.
Yeah, right. So when I get my hands dirty, which is often because I'm very handy around the house.
Right.
Hey, listen, lady.
Very
I'll
handsy
let you
around
know.
The house.
Yes. 2 days ago, in the same day, I replaced a shower head upstairs, and I fixed the toilet downstairs because I'm a man and I'm handy.
Oh, that's funny.
And that's what I do.
I think that's funny that you're so proud of that, that you actually said that out loud.
Yes.
Because most people would not be proud of that, because that's just a normal, average, everyday skill that most people possess.
I don't think it's normal.
I don't think you spend enough time around men.
Yeah,
that's
right?
Very true.
That's like the whole point, is to be able to be like, yeah, I changed that shower head.
Oh, I sure did. Well, yeah, we all know I don't spend enough time around men.
Fix that toilet.
Well,
I
that's
did.
True.
Yeah.
Bagel doesn't count.
Bagel, my dog, doesn't count.
That's like the dumbest thing, and it's not unique to men, but there are jobs that kind of lend itself to it. Like, I know when I was roofing, when I would drive around town, I would be looking subconsciously.
Let me clarify that, because of your lisp. You said roofing, right? Just me. Okay.
No, when I was roofing.
Roofing. Go ahead.
Back when I was roofing, every building I drive by, like, you subconsciously look at the roof and be like, oh, I see what they did there, the flashing down the side.
Because you were used to roofs.
Hey, I need you to come to my house and do some roofing.
No, I'd retired from that game.
No, roofing seriously, sucks, I just got my roof replaced.
I need you to come to my house and do some roofing.
I just got my roof replaced on my patio, right?
Shingles or something?
No, and I told them I wanted it
good
to be...
Good thing you were a spelunker. Go ahead, sorry.
I told them I wanted it to be waterproof. That's the whole point, right?
Yeah.
And they told me that they were going to put the flashing along the rain gutter and all this stuff. So I took the weatherproof cover off my television, and then it torrential downpoured, and they absolutely did not weatherproof it. So my TV is ruined.
Uh-oh.
And I've called them to come back and have not heard from them in a few days.
Trying to scrape up the money for a new TV.
Maybe you know how to fix that problem.
Well,
Nate,
I could probably...
I've got a 30-pack in the fridge.
All right. Yeah, I'll do it. Great.
There you go.
Nate's screwed because not only does he have prior roofing experience, which, of course, lends him to be asked for favors, but Nate's also a truck guy because of his Hoblet Dodge truck. And trucks. That's why I will never own a truck. Sorry, Hoblet. That's just me. I will personally never own a truck. Because I don't want to be guy who get, hey,
trust
you got
me, Dave,
a truck.
Even if you owned a truck, no one would ask you for
help. Well, nobody that knows me, because they know I have no problems to be like, no.
Dave knows the drill. This is something you learn real young, especially because I know you have lawn mowing experience.
I do.
Parents.
Like, yes, I do.
If someone asks you to do something you don't want to do, the best way out of it is to just half-ass it to the point where no one asks you to do anything.
Absolutely.
Again. And... you know, Dave just,
I don't
he's
have the
there
ability
now.
To
he
do
doesn't
that.
Have to worry about it.
No, I'll just half-ass. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, life for me. I'll just half-ass my way through. Don't ask me to do anything.
I, on the other hand, cannot say no.
Well.
To when people ask me to help them with things. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the, I see where that went bad.
Can't help yeah.
I see where that went bad.
Can't help but give a guy a hand, can you?
You're so stupid. Mm-hmm.
From the 916.
I hate you, Nate.
A shower head is just like a screw.
It is. It's like you unscrew something
wrong.
And then you screw it
yeah,
back
you're
on.
Damn right.
Wrong.
That, did you know why? That's why all the jokes are how many women does it take to screw in a shower head?
How many?
Right?
Okay.
No, I'm just saying.
Oh,
like,
I got
they you. Don't make those jokes about dudes.
I miss
it's
those jokes, too.
Complicated job.
Did you put
probably
the...
probably do.
Did
what
you,
is it? How many women does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't even know what stuff
12, is. 12, one to stand on the chair and 11 to turn it.
You're so dumb.
I figured it was 11 to tell her that she's doing it wrong.
I kind of thought that's where it was going as well.
One to screw the light bulb, and the other 11 to talk behind her back about her hair.
Or to say how big her ass is.
Yeah, ass is giant. She's fat.
I can't believe she's wearing those pants while she's screwing in that light bulb.
Here's the thing.
I'm so glad we have Katie on this show to absolve us.
Exactly. Right. Misogyny over here. So... it's not, because I unscrewed the old shower head. I then cleaned the threads from the pole that comes out of the wall.
Then you got to put that stupid
plumber's
tape on there.
Plumber's tape that
I
got.
I was wondering if you put the
plumber's
tape on.
Damn right. Then I screwed it on because I watched a damn YouTube video, and I did all the steps.
Why?
Oh, my
gosh. Why did you need a new
shower
head?
Suck it, texture.
Like, did you get a good shower head, or did you just have to replace a shower head?
No, I got a good shower head, but I had to replace the old shower head because I installed that one wrong a year ago.
Oh,
it was leaking.
Did you not use the plumber's tape?
I'm going to give you some advice, and I'm very proud of you for changing the shower head.
Should be proud of me.
Don't ever admit when you do something that you had to watch a YouTube video to do it correctly.
You know, I'm an open book, Katie. I'm sorry. I'm comfortable enough.
Like, okay, if you're going to, change the oil in your car. Say, I watched a YouTube video and I did it. Like, then I would be like.
No, I would just say I went to Jiffy
Lube. The fact that you.
It's right there.
Yeah, but, you know, we went. Now you know how to do it.
Yeah, no, I don't.
But, no, you don't.
I have no idea. I would change the carburetor fluids before I changed the oil.
Simple, basic things.
It's way more accurate statement.
Don't admit that you had to watch a YouTube video to do it correctly.
Well, it's a turn off to the Legion of Sports Top Radio groupies. They're on my jizzock. I don't think so. Before we break, have you guys done your... Katie, I know you didn't.
Can you say that?
Jizzock? Yeah, like jock.
Just don't make it two words.
Oh, I see where you're going. No. have you? I know you did. Have you done your taxes?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I went and I have a my taxes are so jacked. I have a 2-day session at a very popular tax firm that will not be mentioned. 2-day session yesterday, which I went without my wife, and then today when she comes in and signs the papers or whatever we have to do. Here's one thing I've noticed: this is the first time I've ever gone into one of these places. It's only because things are so convoluted that I needed help. Mm-hmm. So I went into this place, and again, a very maybe the most recognizable one. Here's the thing I never understood. They have open cubicles, and obviously we're near April 15th or 17th this year.
So there's 50 million people in there.
And here's the thing. You're all basically sitting next to each other while the most intimate parts of your life are being exposed. Yeah. And so there's
no, Dave, you cannot write off your adult toys.
Right? Exactly. excuse me, Mr. Carmichael, Dave, but because that's how they call me there. That's my legal name. So I see you took a $7,000 male enhancement deduction. but it's not just that. I can't help but listen to the girl next to me that's in there, and I'm listening to her. Deductions. And then over there.
Yeah, you didn't know that lingerie's a tax deduction for a stripper?
That's the thing. I couldn't help but listen. And then in the cubicle across from me, some poor lady was being told that, the good news is you get this credit. The bad news is it doesn't matter because you didn't make over $10,000 last year.
Oh.
Right? And I felt so like, I don't want to know that. And then we make eye contact on the way out.
And then it makes you feel guilty because you spend more than that a year on Amazon.
Oh, and you're like, hey, baby, you need a slice?
Yeah. Right? Hey,
jeez, Nate.
How about dinner? I know you need it. We'll take a break. Listen to us. You make no money. But, I mean, really, come on. That was so sad. Have a little privacy. You should have little offices, right?
Right.
You don't get physicals in front of everyone unless you're in the Army.
How much money do they make when they really only work 1 month a year?
That's a good point right there. We'll take a break. Morning Brew is next. Kings Clippers, the season is thankfully over. Hey, break up those athletics. And we got the playoff seating set. We'll do that next on The Drive. Sports, 1140 KHDK. Thank God.
Nice round number.
Thank God it's over.
50 Club.
First off,
but didn't we beat Vegas?
No,
they had it at 32.5 at the start of the season, didn't they?
Yes.
Damn you, Vegas.
there's a reason casinos are shiny, Katie. There is an absolute reason for that. The Kings finished it.
I thought it was because people had gambling addiction.
Yeah, that too. it's so. We're going to get into this. That's kind of going to be the underlying theme of today's show. Is we'll do some wrap up shows on this season as we move towards. What's really going to be interesting about the Kings season, which is the off season and the draft lottery and the draft itself.
Do you want to just replay last year's show at this time?
It's pretty much similar. But my question, my overarching question today is it just me or did this season seem harder than normal?
I think for you, because you stopped going to games because you were in trouble.
I was in trouble.
You're in trouble.
In trouble. We've been fighting.
No,
they're in trouble with me.
I know. Well, that's
much as I'm in trouble with
your
them.
Your relationship is damaged.
Yes,
is what I'm saying.
Well, it's like family gets in fights. That's all. Like I still love them.
Are you sure? Is that just a radio bit?
Is
your relationship with the Kings just a radio bit, Dave?
Yes. Secretly Warrior fan. I don't know. Hey, by the way, in Sacktown Royalty, well, I shouldn't say Sacktown Royalty now. SB Nation's Tom Ziller wrote a thing yesterday renouncing his Kings fandom.
Oh,
I'll read
really?
That, man. I'll read that later. But he's like, why am I still a Kings fan? For reasons?
Way to be strong.
Kings finished 32-50. Katie, the season is over. You now have one job, not two.
Yay!
And that's
can we at least give that a hand?
Yes.
All right.
I mean, we see more of you now.
Oh.
No,
I'm sorry.
Everyone's happy about that. All right, moving on.
Yeah, nobody's happy about that.
Oh, sorry, Nate. Hold on. Nate, we didn't ask you.
Oh, it's all right.
Yeah, do you have anything to add to this season being over?
I did not.
That's why he's okay with this. Hi. The playoffs are starting.
They are.
They are.
Saturday.
And here's my thing. It's crazy to me. I was talking with Jason Jones of The Bee about this yesterday, about how, you know, things come down to the final game. And he was talking about how the Jazz were super pissed off that the Kings were resting all these players against the Clippers, who they beat like a week or two ago, 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, really? Like, I don't get that mentality. Because for some teams, it comes down to the final game. But don't be pissed at somebody else. And don't be pissed about the situation you've been in. You had 82 games. You can't. It's like blaming a loss on the last second shot or a missed free throw. There was a lot of stuff that happened before that that was in your hands. So I don't like the blaming, whatever. And then the Spurs end up, you know, getting beat by the Jazz, and it didn't matter.
Barely.
I mean, the idea that, like, so what, the Kings beat the Clippers a little while back? Like, the idea that
it was the worst loss, regular season loss, in Chris Paul's career,
of
he
course.
Said.
Yeah. I mean, so the idea that even with a full roster, like, the Kings are there to do the Jazz a favor is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
So
I watched that Spurs Jazz game last night, and I didn't even, I had the Kings game on the little TV. The big, I was focused on Spurs Jazz.
You need to get the color checked on your little TV.
No, you looked orange because of the, know what it was, is there were lights coming down on you at the time. It wasn't my TV. I
dang lights.
In all truthiness. Mm. Both Greg Popovich and Quinn Snyder sat their starters in the entire fourth quarter, which with Pop, I get it. Quinn Snyder sat the starters in the fourth, and the Spurs at one point had, I think, a 2-point lead. They came all the way back from 17 down. They had a lead. I'm sitting here going, great.
But
here's what happens.
I'm wondering with Quinn if this is why it happened, because going into that game, they had to play everybody because it had, you know, playoff implications for whether or not they were going to be the 4 or the 5 seed and have home court advantage. But they were playing injured. Gordon Hayward has been injured. Derek Favors, Rodney Hood, like all of like key people to their success in the playoffs were playing injured, where if this were a normal game, most likely would not have played in that game. So I'm wondering if that had anything to do with it. But it's still,
you're fighting for home court advantage versus the Clippers,
yeah,
and you're down one and you sat your starters. Like, that makes no sense to me, especially if I'm the owner of the damn team and that means an extra home game.
I get that.
Stop defending him.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I think it's a
Quinn
tough...
Snyder is a bad person.
Oh yeah, there you go.
I just don't know like how Quinn Snyder became a decent coach. Like, he was always just a mediocre to decent college coach that just existed.
He looks like a Neiman Marcus model too. He really does.
And then he's super like, nice, you guys.
Well, I'm not trying to trash the guy. I'm saying like he didn't have a huge record of success in college. He was decent to good at Missouri.
Yeah.
And then he went to the NBA and kind of bounced around as an assistant. You didn't really hear anything. Mm-hmm. And then boom, the Jazz are 50-plus win team fighting for home court advantage.
That's what happens when you take over like a organization, a team that has been solid for a very long time.
More on that later. Here's the A's.
Hey, don't look now, but the A's are the best team in baseball. Well, actually, that's not quite accurate, but they are pretty badass. They're over 500. They beat the Royals yesterday. They keep kicking the Royals' butts, too. They've beat them several times in a row. Now I forget what the number was, but they've got quite a streak going. And they look for a series sweep today right here on KHTK.
Day game.
I'll donate my A's time just to say that the voice here was Ken Korak, and he will be joining us at 8:05.
Oh,
today.
Is it a night game?
Yeah, it's just 5:15.
Oh.
So it's afternoon-ish.
Yeah, afternoon our time.
We'll take a break. Kings Clippers next, 3 minutes away. And where they stand in the standings and in the lottery seedings, that's next. Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, welcome into the drive. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Ken Korak at 8:05. Darren Collison at 8:35. I'm fighting with a guy in the text line right now, shockingly, who is convinced of something that we'll tell you about right after this.
Is he convinced that the new McCafe Macchiatos, Cappuccinos, or Americanos are at McDonald's right now? Because he should be. Mm-hmm. Price of participation may vary for a limited time. I'm loving it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. He's convinced that.
Talk about the morning brew. Get into that.
Yeah, morning brew is fine indeed and dandy. Kings are done 32 and 50.
32 and 50. Can I like file this under like weirdest things to pop up in my Twitter feed?
Let us judge.
A tweet from TMZ Sports. Rudy Gay says he's 1 month ahead of schedule in Achilles recovery.
Really?
I thought they only reported when you know guys like Rudy show up at a club with five women.
Oh man. TMZ's on it. I like TMZ.
I think they have because it's kind of like a TV gossip rag, right? That's how they started.
Hold on. Let me.
I agree.
Yeah, go ahead.
But they report and break a lot of very accurate sports news.
And regular news,
yeah.
They were the ones who did the Michael Jackson died. They got it first.
So, funny story. We're in Houston this
Michael
year.
Jackson died. Funny story.
No, but this kind of goes along. You know, we were in Houston, and we got in late, so we're outside waiting for luggage. And Vlade's out there. His wife was on this trip. You know, it's in Peja's standing there. And it's like the four of us just standing outside the hotel waiting for the luggage to come off the bus. And up walks a guy with a camera. And he goes, "Hey, Vlade, I'm from TMZ Sports." And he goes, "What?" It's like he had no idea what TMZ was at all. And I just kind of like made eye contact with him. And I'm like, "Don't say anything. Like, don't talk. Don't say a word." It was like right before the Super Bowl, you know?
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. But he was like genuinely.
I don't think you'll ever see Vlade
perplexed.
On TMZ. I don't see Vlade popping up on TMZ.
What's a TMZ?
Exactly. What does it stand for? That's the line you don't cross in Korea, right? The TMZ.
Yeah.
What
are you fighting on the text line about?
I don't know why it's such a dumb sore spot with me. This guy is thoroughly. When I asked earlier and I said, does the season seem like it was tougher than normal? Even though record wise, it really wasn't. There's young guys. And I felt like the George Karl seasons there's a lot of other seasons, but this season just kind of killed a lot of people. This guy's the reason why the season's bad is because the DeMarcus trade broke. You're not really a Kings fan. You were a DeMarcus fan. It's like, I just don't know how.
But that is why the season seemed a little tougher than normal, I think.
But I don't agree that it's accurate that it's because they traded him. I mean, it can be a lot of different things, but for me, it's because DeMarcus broke me. I got tired of that. I'm glad
he's gone. That situation was not easy, whether you were a fan or not a fan of his. And narrative that like he and I were
bunkmates. It's like knowing you're in a bad relationship or a bad marriage, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know that it needs to end, but it's really difficult to do it. And then it finally happens. And it's like mixed feelings because it's difficult and it's hard. And you had years of all this turmoil and blah, blah, blah. And you know you're going to be better off, but it's still like, oh, but it's ending.
In fact, you know, I would argue that this was one of the easier seasons in recent memory because we really only cared about it for 2/3 of it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, after DeMarcus was gone, it was like everything was kind of gravy. They were just, and not to say that they were just running out the motions, but as a fan, that's kind of how I felt. You trade him away, you are packing it in. You're calling that season good. So now it's just, you exist in this state of basketball purgatory almost where nothing's really good, nothing's really bad. It just exists.
I feel the opposite. Mm-hmm. I mean, the opposite in the sense that I didn't feel like it was basketball purgatory the last, like, third of the season, the last 26 games, because I actually enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, you know, more than probably the first 2/3 of the season, because there is just so much stuff that was involved in that and rumors and, you know, should we or shouldn't we? And, like, it was an incessant, unending conversation for several years about whether or not he was good or bad for this team. And then he was gone. And it's like, okay, well, this is what let's take a look at what we've got going forward. And I was pleasantly surprised. And they were fun to watch. I think the worst part of it was that Dave was pissed because they were winning games.
I was pissed that they were winning games at the wrong time. So I felt horrible yesterday. And I actually said, I never thought the day would come when I'm rooting for the Clippers to beat the Kings. But here we are. Here we are, and that's what I was doing yesterday. I was hoping the Kings would lose to the Clippers.
You didn't have to root too hard.
Did you guys see the Sports Illustrated grade on the Kings?
I heard about it. I didn't see it. It was an F, right?
The midseason grade was a D. The final grade was an F.
And how much do you pay attention to that stuff? like when it comes from national things and national publications, I'm like, well, you know what? They don't really know.
The question would be, how much do those things ever teach you? I mean, were you like, oh, wow, maybe the Kings were really bad this year?
Well, I'm just, for me, I understand. I think, and Ben Golliver wrote it, and Ben Golliver was an Oklahoma City Thunder, I think, blogger for a long, long time. I think it's a little heavy-handed, and I'll read it here in a second. But at the same time, I'm kind of worn out, and I used to hold the torch on this. I'm kind of worn out on the whole the national media is against us, and we're just a low-hanging fruit punchline thing.
I'm not saying they're against us. Saying that they don't have – they don't have the details that local people, you know what I'm saying? Because they don't really follow it that.
But
they're
also not. Sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's bad.
And the argument there is that they're not biased like local people, and they're not partially protecting the franchise like local people.
I don't even think it's about being biased. Obviously, local people are biased, but you just have more insight into it. Whether it's a good or a bad thing, you at least have a better grip on what's really going on. I would not give the Kings an F, not because of my bias, but because I think that this is a positive thing. And to actually, considering like the decisions that were made this year, I think probably a C because
it's funny,
I like,
because they're an abject failure to me.
Yeah. Okay. I give it a C just because I like the changes made to the coaching staff. I think that that was a really good decision, and I think that it's going to be long lasting. Which is the first time I can say that in years. I like the veterans that were signed, especially now considering that you have like a youth movement. And I do like the young pieces. So I'll give it a C. And even just pulling the trigger and making that trade, that was a ballsy move. And I can say it needed to be made. So I would give them a C.
All right. I mean, jumping off a cliff can be considered a ballsy move too, right? I mean, ballsy isn't always good though, right? Or no?
Well, in this situation, to me, I'm using it as a positive term.
I'll read you what Ben Golliver said, and then we can fight about that next. The grade for the Kings
of Golliver's travels,
the first of many national grades for the Kings, whether or not you believe it or not, it's in on the drive. We'll do that in 3 minutes. Sports 1140 KHDK. Welcome back into the drive. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, 649. Time to save money on Shell gasoline. Text the word Dave to 83835 now.
That's D-A-V-E.
Save a quarter off your second fill up and so much more when you stack that cash. Jay Moore tickets. We got two pair to see Jay at Calusa Casino.
I believe it's two-per.
Two-per. Mm-hmm. If you're in Memphis, I'd say two-per. Friday, April 14th. That's this Friday. Hey, 10 to 1. Hold on now. I didn't see this. I didn't see this part of the giveaway. $10 in free play and a free buffet included?
No.
Nice. Get out of here.
They had you at buffet, didn't they, Dave?
You're damn right they had me at buffet. I mean, I like Jay Moore. He's fine. But you get the buffet with it, too? Come on. Sports Illustrated's Ben Golliver put out his grades for each team. There were a couple Fs in there. One of them was the Sacramento Kings.
Aww.
I will read his paragraph. The Kings' season was a tour de force in stupidity. That's how it starts. So
nice.
It's all downhill from here.
Yeah.
After initially signaling a public desire to re-sign DeMarcus Cousins to a max contract, the beleaguered ownership group and front office abruptly reversed course and agreed to trade their franchise center. Thanks, Matt. Their franchise center during the middle of the All-Star game. That combination of blatant inconsistency and poor timing somehow ceded the moral high ground to the league's most polarizing player and simultaneously managed to return just pennies on the dollar in the deal. And that was before general manager Vlade Divac handled the post-trade press conference with Sean Spicer-level dopiness.
Oh.
And another aborted run at the playoffs ended with a middling spot in the lottery order. Finishing up, obviously the Kings are the lowest hanging fruit in the NBA. Their owner is renowned for his zaniness. Divac is best known for his total lack of experience and attention to positional balance. The roster now has gaping holes at four or five positions, and their long history of losing has made it difficult to attract draft prospects for workouts, much less free agents.
They have gaping holes at two, maybe three positions.
Even if the Kings keep and nail both of their 2017 first-round picks, and even if Buddy Hield blossoms, as Vivek Ranadive is praying that he will, the process of moving on from Cousins is going to be long, tough sledding. Hey, at least Scalabissiere looks like a keeper.
But that part I don't agree with.
There's a few things in there I don't agree with.
Most of all, because 90% of that is accurate, right? If not, maybe a little bit harsh at times.
It's definitely on the harsh end of accurate.
I don't know about 4 to 5 holes.
I agree. No chance.
Have a lot of them.
Yes.
But the idea that it's going to take a long time to move on from a 32-win franchise centerpiece to me is nonsense.
It is.
It could not possibly take longer than 6.5 years to reach the 35-win plateau, wasn't that
right,
his
right.
all?
No.
And if it does, it wouldn't surprise me because of the way that this franchise has been pretty much forever. But let's not pretend that they traded away a guy that was leading them to the playoffs or even anywhere close to it.
I think if he had been more abstract in what he said and said the 4 to 5 positions thing is stupid. But if he had said something like...
Might be three.
shooting guard and point guard for sure. And then you need to fill in holes at the small forward. But that all also hinges on whether or not Rudy Gay is going to opt out of his contract.
But even if Rudy Gay doesn't opt out of his contract, don't we kind of consider that still kind of a hole at three?
Yeah, but it's not gaping. I mean,
well, okay.
You need to at least add one more guy.
Sort
but I also think that Scal is someone that could... kind of go in between the 3 and 4 spot.
He could. I mean, there's a lot
the
of
skill
could.
Set. Yeah, but that's what it is when you hit reset.
Sure, and that's the thing. It could go either way. I think if this guy had said something like, the Kings are as far away from the playoffs as they were before the season started, the difference is that they really have no chips of value as far as tradability goes. I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever you want to say about DeMarcus Cousins, he was their one tradable chip. There's
right.
nobody on the team right now that is going to garner, nobody on the team that is going to garner a massive name or even a star name.
But DeMarcus didn't garner very much either.
And that's the question is, and that's the question about that trade that will forever be asked is, do I think the trade should have happened? I've been on record saying I'm glad the trade happened. It was good for the team. It is time to move on from both ends. But just because you agree with the trade doesn't mean you have to agree with what they got in the
right.
trade or the timing of the trade.
Yeah, but you also one of the storylines in his trade forever, you're going to have two sides. You're going to have the side that they did not get enough for him. And then you're going to get the side that, well, with his volatility and his past, did he really drive down his trade value that much? And people just are unwilling to accept the fact that people around the league don't want to deal with that.
I think the truth's in the middle. I think there are a lot of people that think the Kings could have gotten far more out of DeMarcus Cousins in a trade than they could have. I agree with that 100%.
And I think part of it, goes to the fact of when it happened.
But there's something there, too, about when you hear enough about how you've got a GM that's not really returning phone calls. You have other teams that were interested. The fact, do we really think it was a coincidence? Do we really think it was a coincidence that DeMarcus Cousins got traded to New Orleans during the All-Star game while our GM was in New Orleans? Of course we don't think that's a coincidence. So that's a problem for me.
Yeah.
Even if the difference is not having a top three protected pick, even if that's it,
right?
That to me is a failure of leadership.
Yeah. I mean, was the market poisoned for him? Probably, and I don't know. Did Vlade get the best deal he could have at the time? I'm semi-willing to believe that. But, yeah, I think that another GM could have done something different.
I think part of the truth behind this, too, and there's a lot that went into this that we'll never really know. I don't think that ownership wanted to trade DeMarcus. And I tend to believe that all of a sudden they're like, you know what? Go ahead. But it was a week before. It's time wise.
Week before the trade deadline.
It didn't give them a lot of time to really be working deals.
And that's a failure of ownership.
When you're coming out publicly and saying, we're not trading him,
sure.
I don't think Vlade was lying.
I think you might be right. I think you very well could be right. I don't care whose fault it is. And I think Vlade has fallen on.
Talked this into the
Vlade's. Well, we're talking about this postseason, this postmortem here. And I think Vlade's fallen on the sword in a lot of ways for ownership. I think Vlade was put in a horrible spot.
Yeah.
And Vlade did the best he could. And maybe Vlade's best isn't Danny Ainge's best or R.C. Buford's best or even Sam Hinkie's best. I don't know. But I think when you're put in a tough spot where you can't succeed, and he's the one. I mean, let me ask you this.
How much criticism do you give someone when they take over something that's just already broken to pieces?
I think you get a lot of leeway. I think Vlade gets a lot of leeway, and it's deserved.
Do you think the criticism has been fair or unfair given what he took over?
I honestly, and channeling my inner Katie here, but I think it's appropriate, I think it's been both. I think there's been a lot of unfair criticism levied at Vlade Divac, and I also think there's been a lot of fair criticism levied at him. And I also think there's a lot of criticism that hasn't been levied at him because of who he is as a player and as a person. So I think it's a little bit of all. I think he's been treated both. He's been both protected locally and screwed at the same time. It just depends on who you're talking about and where it's coming from. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 as we post-mortem this whole deal. And by the way, let me ask you this. You know, we talk about Vlade being out there full force, right? Being out there publicly. Nate, I'll ask you this question. Do you remember the last time Vivek Ranadive did an interview locally on radio or television?
No.
Anybody from ownership?
No.
I don't either. I don't. I honestly think the last time I remember was when George Karl got hired, and I talked to him.
And is that not
the firehouse?
Is that not an accomplishment?
I think it is, and it isn't, because Vlade is a guy out front. Vlade is a guy out front, and I'm saying that in defense of Vlade. We'll take a break. Not three for madness. We'll continue this and get to the playoff matchups next. I'm moving way ahead on the Drive Sports 1140 KHDK.